Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to another episode of the Everyday Truth Podcast, here with Hannah one more time. At least, I think this is your last time for a while. But we've enjoyed having you, Hannah.
It has been very good being here. I know I say it really almost every time, but it's true. I enjoy it.
And you were our kind of our chapter six girl, because the last four episodes we've been in one chapter for four episodes. But my friends, we are going to make that up to you today. Because we are in Nehemiah chapter 7, if you've been following along. Nehemiah chapter 7 is a chapter of the Bible with 73 verses. So if we spent four episodes in chapter 6, which had 19 verses, then we're going to be in chapter 7 for weeks. But that's not true. We're actually going to cover this entire chapter in one episode, Lord willing. And much of the chapter is a list of people that were then living in Judah. And for reasons that we'll talk about this episode, Nehemiah wanted to get the count of the various families, who are the priests, who are the Levites, who are the temple servants, even down to the number of animals that they had. And there was a big reason for all of that, and we'll talk about that as today's episode unfolds. I do want you to look at Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 1. The first few verses are so helpful. The wall has been complete. The best argument against the critic is just get the job done. It's not to say that there aren't people problems, because people problems exist even after you complete that new church building. Even after you get that project done, people are people. And we saw that Tobiah had some relatives. They lived in the city. You had the criticism going back and forth. Listen, it's part and parcel to the ministry. But good things are happening. So now that the wall has been built, look at verse 1 with me, Hannah. It came to pass when the wall was built that I had set up the doors and the porters. A porter would be somebody that would watch the door open and shut it. And it was very, very important in Bible days from the standpoint of safety. The porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed. So he gets all the servants in place. He deals with safety. Those are the porters. He deals with the singers. And then he deals with the servants, those that just do the mundane jobs, the cleaning up, the setting up. And yet, people that are essential for the work of the ministry to move on. Isn't it interesting, Hannah, that the building project is done, but that only gives rise to the real work that needs to be done? Buildings don't change lives. What happens in them does. Walls don't have a purpose in and of themselves. Remember, Hannah, back in chapter 1, when Nehemiah had received the information, and people wrongly think that Nehemiah's burden was for the wall.
Yeah, his burden was for the people, but part of that burden, part of the process for that burden was to build the wall, to create that safety for God's people.
And isn't it easy sometimes to get focused on the inanimate, on the project, on the building, on the non-people? And if we're not careful, especially those of us in ministry, we'll begin to view people as the distraction or people as the interruption. And yet it's all about people. And Nehemiah provides a great example in Nehemiah chapter 7, because his heart had always been for the people. The wall building, the wall completion, the wall reparation was simply a means to an end, so that now in the safe environs of Jerusalem, the ministry can take place. But ministry requires hands-on people that are doing the work. So he deals with setting those people in their place. The porters, that's the safety. Because what good is worshiping if we're not in a safe environment? So safety is paramount. We say that at our Christian school here. Safety is paramount because education can't take place in a non-safe environment. So safety. And then the singers, worship is paramount, right? So the singers are appointed. And then the Levites, those that do the mundane jobs, not the maybe the more notable recognized job of a priest, but the Levites. So the servants are put in place. So it's all about people, giving attention to people and their giftedness and their responsibility. And Nehemiah is setting all these people in place. So we see that in verse 1, but then in verse 2, we find that Nehemiah is also setting up his leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. The famous preacher Lee Robertson used to say back in the day. And what a true statement that is. Watch how Nehemiah does this in verse 2. That I gave my brother Hanani, and that name ought to pique your interest, listeners, because it was this Hanani almost a year before that had traveled back from Jerusalem to Shushan the palace and had told Nehemiah about all the problems. So now here's Hanani with Nehemiah, the faithful brother. And then the Bible says, and Hananiah. So these two guys, their names sound the same. The ruler of the palace. So what did Nehemiah do? He gave them charge over Jerusalem. So guys, you guys are going to run the show. There's a possibility that Nehemiah had to get back to Shushan to make a report. So, but for whatever reason, he's putting his brother and this guy, Hananiah, that had been kind of the steward of the palace, in charge. Now, why? Hannah, why should they be in charge?
Well, I'm kind of reading ahead a little bit. But it says they were faithful men, and they need strong leadership while Nehemiah's away.
Yeah, so you would think that maybe the qualities of leadership would have been listed a little bit differently. I'm looking for a guy that's a take charge guy. I'm looking for a guy that has great communication ability. I'm looking for a guy that is a wonderful administrator. And are those good qualities of, or I should say, are they desirable qualities for a leader? I would say so. But are they non-negotiable? Probably not.
Because they have a good skill set, but that's not the end goal or the most important quality of a leader.
So I would agree. And Nehemiah, the Bible gives us two reasons why he selected them. Number one, they were faithful men, as you just said. He was a faithful man, Hananiah specifically. And the Bible says, and feared God above many. So here's a man that gets the job done. He does what he says he's going to do. He's faithful. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said and he's specifically speaking about himself. It's a defense of his apostleship. And he said, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And Paul said, I want to be known as a faithful man. The writer of Proverbs said, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, doing what you're supposed to do even when it's not convenient, doing what you're supposed to do even when it's not popular, getting the job done. So I want to put a faithful man in place, but then something that speaks to his relationship with God, one that feared God above many. So whatever the fear of God is, it was demonstrable. And what I mean by that is it was noticeable to others. So what does it mean to fear God? Does that mean to live in constant being scared of God?
It's a respect, I would say, is a good synonym of it.
So how would that show up? If I respect God, if I am in awe of God, How would that show up? How would that be recognizable to a man like Nehemiah to say, hey, this guy feared God over many?
It's going to show through his actions and his priorities that he puts God first, which delves into all the areas of his life. He has discernment. He has wisdom, much like Nehemiah would be putting God first. That doesn't mean he's perfect, but he makes the right decisions.
Yeah, I think the fear of God in the Bible has several, there are several indicators of it. So, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So when we have a healthy fear of God, we're not fearing circumstances. There's a boldness that comes as a result of the fear of God. There is a holiness. How can I sin against God, do this great wickedness in his sight? Joseph said, I'm practicing the presence of God. I'm practicing the fear of God. There's going to be a holiness. There's going to be a boldness. There's going to be a knowledge, a discernment. I think you just pointed that out. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, of knowledge. So these are recognizable traits. And that's what Nehemiah said. He said, I want to put somebody in front of God's people who is faithful and who fears God. When Jethro, not the one on
Beverly
Hillbillies, yeah, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, when he said, Moses, you need some guys to help you, one of the chief characteristics was fearing God. When Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God, keep his commandments, the fear of God. So I want to put somebody in front of God's people that is faithful and fears God. So he puts the leadership in place. He puts the servants in place. Why? Because walls are not an end in themselves. Buildings are not an end in themselves. It's all about what happens inside of them. It's all about getting the right people in place. Sometimes in ministry, we're so concerned about everything looking good and things ought to be sharp and first class, but not at the expense of investing in people. It's the people that matter. And Nehemiah taught us that priority. Real quickly, I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, everyone to be over his house. The city was large and great, but the people were few therein. The houses were not builded. So Hannah, real quickly, because we're almost out of time. So what he does is he says, okay, guys, you're in charge. I've got some servants doing their job. I've got the porters in place. Now, only open the city gates a couple hours a day. Why? We don't have a lot of people that live in the city. It's big. It's defensible now. We've got the walls, but we've really got to be careful. And then what Nehemiah does, it's so wise, he counts the people. And we're not going to take time to read it or talk a lot about it, but for the rest of the chapter, he basically says, how many people do we have? And you know what he finds out? There's about 50,000 people. Now, they live in different villages among different family groups. He's got this number of priests. He has this number of Levites. He's trying to figure out, how do I make the economy of Jerusalem work? Because all the people had begun to live in these villages and these little towns outside, but he wants to centralize. This is the city of God. This is where worship needs to take place. This is the place of safety. This is where the people are going to thrive in their worship, in their growth, in their economy. So he wants to figure out who they are, get as many of them into the city as possible, and get the houses built. You know, it's funny, not funny, but interesting. At the end of the chapter, we find some large financial donations coming in. Why? Because people now have a heart for it. There's a city that needs to be populated. There's a God that needs to be worshiped. There are houses that need to be built. There's a temple that still needs to be refurbished somewhat. And what's happening is everybody is on board. Why? Because they've got the right priority. Leadership has set the right priority. We're going to serve God. We're going to have godly leaders. We're going to have a godly program moving forward of worship and honoring God. So let's get all hands on deck and do what God wants us to do. Hannah, you've been in some thriving churches in your life. And it's a wonderful thing to see that happen. But you know, there are times in our lives when we've seen some broken situations. And I'll tell you, if you're in a situation right now where you have people serving God, you have an esprit de corps, people that are giving and loving, a faithful leader that fears God, you ought to spend some extra time today just stopping and thanking God, because that's really a blessing in your life. So that's it for us today. We covered, Hannah, we covered one chapter of 73 verses in one episode.
We did it.
We are pretty proud of ourselves. God bless you, my friends. Have a great day.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.